Tēnā rā, koutou katoa, ko haukura tēnā atu, te whare kōrero o te reo irirangi o te hiku o te ika, ko tō tātahua kōrero i tēnei ata ko te, ko Mika Whaitiri i runga i te kaupapa o te Associate Minister of Agriculture. Tēnā koe whaia.
Morena, morena.
Would it be accurate to say that the microplasma bovis, let's say M. bovis, disease, yep. It attacks cows and it's a major animal welfare challenge as well as a biosecurity challenge. Where did it actually come from?
Absolutely. Well, obviously it never originated here, but like a lot of biosecurity incursions, they come in so many different manners, either through, because we import obviously some genetics, it gets blown over, believe it or not, from Australia in the wind in terms of some of the myrtle rust incursions, stink bugs, they're the ones that come on the boats, particularly in imported cars.
Yeah.
So it just means that our border security, biosecurity at the border, obviously needs to be tightened, and that's what this government will be doing once we address the immediate issue of the M. bovis outbreak, because as each day goes, I mean, it's getting worse and worse in terms of the outbreaks and the spread. And simply because there was a system farmers had bought into, it was introduced under the last government, it's called the NATE, it's a tracing, animal tracing, and all dairy farmers were expected to record the movements of their animals on the system.
Yeah.
And what's happened, in a lot of cases, some have been very good, and some obviously haven't. And so the issue is not only is it's breaking out, it's trying to trace the animals and their movements so we can actually either eliminate or manage the outbreak. But it's a really serious matter at the moment. And Minister O'Connor, with all the officials and MPI, with the industry, the farmers themselves are trying to address it as best as they can.
And then they were, so a lot of them say if they were trading cows not on the books and on the black market or something.
So there was a bit of that officials, actually at Select Committee, unveiled that, again, it's not a generalisation, but some farmers, it's like any industry, you have your good operators, you have your not-so-good, but some farmers were actually trading cows instead of payment. And, of course, in those instances, they were definitely not using the tracing system. So it's compounded the complexity of the issue by some of that behaviour with certain farmers.
And so now the government, they're having to kill the animals that are infected with it.
Yeah.
But they're okay for the meat, eh? It's just you can't drink the milk.
Yeah, so there's no harm to humans for eating M. bovis affected meat. There's absolutely no harm to the food system per se, but obviously it's not a nasty disease for the cattle themselves. Mastitis on the teats of the animal, you get arthritis, so you know you can see the animals falling down.
Right.
So it's not a pleasant disease for the animal themselves. But in terms of food safety, it's not found to have any food safety issues. So yes, there is a culling process happening as we speak in terms of the affected animals, simply because you wouldn't want to be walking around with arthritis or, you know, mastitis, which is very, very painful. And so hence the call to cull. And of course, I've got to acknowledge for those farmers that are, you know, obviously losing entire herds, it's a really hard thing to face for your animals and for the farmer and those that work on the farm. But obviously it's something that we've got to address, otherwise it's going to widen and spread, and we're trying to contain the spread.
Okay, so we've just heard that it's reached Te Taitokera. I think two farms have yesterday come out that it's on their farms. How do you eradicate it in an area, like, or if you had to do it on a large scale, how can we make sure that it doesn't spread? Like, what do the farmers have to do?
So obviously the core is to ensure that their innate systems, their tracking of their animal systems, are up to speed. And what we're getting from officials who are going out, so you'll have affected farms and farms that are under watch.
Yeah.
So that's the complexity. Those that they find disease on the farm and those that may have received animals but they're not presenting yet. So that's why it's not just the straight you're infected. As of yesterday, there were 39 farms that we would say are affected, and then you've got a whole bunch of farms that are under watch. So so in terms of containing or addressing it, you've got to make sure your systems are up to speed. If disease is found in those farms, then we're hoping that farmers are obviously putting their hands up, or MPI officials are working with them. We're getting stories that they're actually having to sit with farmers around their kitchen table because their tracking systems are actually in a notebook in the back of their pockets. So there's all of that, but this is not a time to blame or point fingers, because it's a serious issue. It's a serious issue, and we need to work alongside industry and farmers to actually isolate those areas that are affected, maintain watch over those that we may believe that they need watching. And like I said, the option hasn't been fully discussed because we're just dealing with the issues day by day in terms of infection, whether we totally eradicate it or we long-term manage it. And that's a decision that Cabinet's going to make on Monday.
Yeah, I imagine it's causing a lot of stress on the farmers and their whānau as well. What country is it from Australia? What other countries have it?
Well, it's in parts of Europe. So we're not the only country that has it. Some actually have it as a matter of course, and rather than elimination, they long term manage it. But because we're such an isolated country, and because we're so dependent on our dairy as one of our largest exporters, that's why the government has moved so quickly and thrown so much resources in terms of money to help to help the farmers who've had to cull, so we can get money back out into the farms who have put in their, application for losing stock, so we can get them up and running as fast as we possibly can, as well as throwing staff from MPI to work with the individual farms, as well as the industry. So it is a really stressful time. We acknowledge that. But our number one intention is to contain or eliminate, and those decisions will be made on Monday.
Kia ora. Now, just in closing, you have a hui on animal welfare next month that's been called in for the 8th of June. Is this going to be the kind of kōrero that's discussed there?
Of course. Well, so what I'm doing, and I've checked, it really hasn't happened. Obviously, we've got the Animal Welfare Act. I've just passed a second tranche of regulations. Cabinet signed it off earlier this year. Despite that, there's always ongoing animal welfare issues. I obviously get tagged into a lot of Facebook posts calling for the getting rid of rodeos. We also have the greyhound races. So there are some very, very active animal welfare groups out there. Rather than always reacting to particular issues, I caught a hui. So we can all sit around the table together, eyeball each other. And really what I'm trying to do is hear directly from the animal advocate groups what they think needs to be done, what they think the priorities should the government be focusing on next in terms of animal welfare issue, and to stop this, they're over there and we're over here. And so that's why I called this hui. I wanted it a lot earlier than we've got now in June. But it's a real commitment from me as animal welfare that I'm engaging with all sectors of animal welfare. Obviously, the key ones I engage with are SBS, SAFE, the animal laws of New Zealand. So I get individual groups that come and present. I've also got an independent, what's called a National Animal Welfare Council, that advise me on all matters. So they're independent of government. They're actually from those key organisations who actually advise me on animal welfare. But I'm going over and above that. I'm opening it up to all animal welfare groups for them to come to hui with me again to say what needs to be, or what are we doing well, what needs to be done, and what do we think the priorities are. And I'm looking forward to that meeting on June 8th in Tāmaki.
Kia ora. And if anyone listening is interested in sharing their whakaaro animal advocacy hui at mpi.govt.nz. Tēnā koe whaia. Have you got anything to add in closing today?
No. Just look, it's post-budget week, and everybody is out talking about the budget that's been laid last week, and obviously the positive impact it's going to have on Māori in terms of the Family Start package. And so it's just making sure that the delivery of these announcements, particularly around heating our homes for whānau, making sure our first start for children or parents with new babies, and also making sure that that we're getting all our entitlements for those who are in benefits and swinging to the regional economic development around the Provincial Growth Fund and planting trees. Those are going to be hugely successful for Māori, and just keen to work with our people on the ground with that.
Kia ora whai. Kia mahana tōra. Have a lovely day.
Me, kia ora.
Kia kite.